Morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and friends. This exhortation, which I'm giving, I gave some time ago in Hamilton, and most of it's come out of those two readings which we have just read, so I won't be going through much of that again. And I've entitled it Attitudes. When we think about God's Word during our Bible classes and our daily readings, and actually in anything which we do in our life, we will be pleased, or we hope that God will be pleased and bless us for what we do. But perhaps the deepest and most important subject, particularly as we come to the memorial table, is our attitude. It is interesting to note that those who have a correct understanding of the truth don't always allow the scriptures to change and adjust their attitudes. Let's not forget that our attitude will determine our behaviour, and our behaviour shows what is in our hearts to those around us, and most importantly, to God. Since none of us in this room is perfect enough to say he or she has obtained a perfect Christ-like manner, we ought to take a closer look at our attitudes. We have learnt from the scriptures, and it should have helped us in our relationships with those outside and within, and ultimately affect our behaviour before our Lord. For a good example, I'll read a few verses from Romans chapter 5, and I had verses 12 to 19 down, but I'll cut a few out of that. Starting at verse 14. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I'll go on to read 17. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What an example by which one man's behaviour or his attitude affected our entire human race. Adam's one act of disobedience is clearly establishing the horror of sin. Here we have death introduced and passed on to the rest of mankind. What can you and I learn from this? Are we not learning the horror of sin? We see then how this is clearly established here in the Bible and is designed to affect and change our attitudes. Quite frankly, since I've been alive, I have personally experienced how on occasion my attitude has a tendency to play with sin, and how careless we can be with our sinful nature. Some people think, well, since Adam we've been played with a sinful nature, so let's make the best of it, for tomorrow we die. But we know there is only one person who will answer for our sins, and that person is ourselves. We will be judged for our own actions. Of course we have a sinful nature. But isn't that why we are here today? We're here to remember the sacrifice that was made, that we might be able to ask God's forgiveness for our own sins and shortcomings. Adam may have brought sin and death into our lives, but Christ showed us a way in which we can survive eternal death. He shows us by setting an example. How does he do this? By attitude. He displays an attitude of faith, hope, and above all, love for his fellow man and his Father. Ultimately, he sacrifices his life for his fellow man to show him that the love that God has for him and us is worth seeking for. There are many things that draw us away from displaying the right Christ-like attitude, and we have been warned against these things. Not only have we been warned, but also we have been fortunate enough to be given guidance of the Word of God to help us to maintain the right behaviour. James chapter 1 contains many problems that trouble man, and yet this chapter also contains the knowledge to overcome these troubles that hamper the development of the attitude for which we are striving. You may want to have your Bibles open in James chapter 1, as I'll be mentioning quite a few verses there, but not reading them. How many of us count it joy when we fall into times of trouble or divers temptations? Now, and if we could understand and accept that these troubles will, and if taken with a patient behaviour, build a strong faith within us, and a desire for nothing more than the wisdom from God, then we would obviously not carry the attitude that I am sure we have all experienced when we have had times of trouble. It's obvious what happens to the person who has no patience and lacks faith. For instance, in verse 6, "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Verse 7, "That person will not receive anything from the Lord." Verse 8, "The double-minded person." How many of us here have experienced a desire to do just the opposite of what we know is right? Our minds can really play on us if they are not well trained and disciplined in the way of God. We cannot serve two ways of life. As God points out, that the double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Verses 9 to 11, we need to be careful of an attitude which places us above others. Thinking that we are better than other people can be a problem. Verse 12. Here is the key verse. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." The reward for a person who can resist temptation will receive the crown of life. Isn't that interesting? We can achieve a relationship with our Lord by our show of resistance to the lust of this world. But first, it is our loving behaviour towards God that has carried us through to be able to resist these things and obtain the crown of life. Notice the end of verse 12, that this was achieved by those who love him. And I'll repeat that, those few words there, because I think it is the key. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The reward for a person who can resist temptation will receive the crown of life. Isn't that interesting? We can achieve a relationship with our Lord by our show of resistance to the lust of this world. But first, it is our loving behaviour towards God that has carried us through to be able to resist these things and obtain the crown of life. Notice the end of verse 12, that this was achieved by those who love him. Verse 13, God is not evil, nor does he represent anything that is evil, but he is a God of love, and neither can he be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt any man. Verse 14, man is only tempted when he changes his behaviour or his attitude away from God's purpose. I don't believe God makes life difficult for us. Rather, I think we choose to make it difficult for ourselves. God doesn't draw us away, we draw ourselves away. Verse 15, obviously some people think if we don't want to die an everlasting death, the answer is don't sin. Well, that sounds easier than it is. Know that there is no escaping. We know that there's no escaping of our sinful nature, but there has been a way prepared for those who wish to escape an everlasting death. That way can be achieved by a continuous display of our faith and hope and our desire of our love and affection for God and one another. That will get us our crown of life. This is the sort of attitude that God is looking to see in every one of us here this morning. God wants us to be his children. He wants us to achieve this crown of life, but only if we want it first, and only if we show the right attitude. Just as we are examples of our parents and show a direct reflection of our upbringing, we, as God's children, should show our godly behaviour in order to reflect to others whom we really and truly are. Are we God's children, or are we children of the world? Let us ask ourselves right now, as I am speaking, what sort of attitude do we have, and how do people see us as people? Do we show anger, selfishness, jealousy, double-mindedness? Do we display arrogance with our knowledge of the scripture to others? Do we show patience, kindness, love, and understanding to those around us? Verse 16, James pleads with his brethren to try not to err. Verse 17, all the help that we need, all the perfect gifts to help us overcome our problems come from above, and only from the Father of lights, who dwelleth in the heavens above. His ways have no variables or shadows, they are straight and narrow. Man cannot justify himself before God. He must follow what God directs and create for himself an attitude from the wisdom God gives to those who ask in faith. Verse 18, God is trying to gather together those who will respond to his calling to the word of truth, so that we can be born again into his ways. Unless we are born again, we will not see or experience God's kingdom. Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that in his absence they must work out their own salvation with trembling, and I would say with much concern for their future. Yet he tells them that it is God in God's ways that will work out God's will in their lives. God will gather his children on this earth like a farmer harvests his crop. He will weed out the bad and reap the good. Verse 19, James tells us to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. How many of us are good listeners? How many of us can stop speaking out against somebody? And how many of us are slow to anger? Why should we be slow to anger? Verse 20, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. How many times can we say that any good has ever come from our times of anger? Did we accomplish anything worth saving or remembering? Verses 21 to 23. Think of all the people that are sitting back and pretending to be somebody they are not. Brothers and sisters, we need to show our true feelings and be ourselves. Verse 24. We get caught up in camouflaging ourselves to others around us, so we forget what manner of person we are supposed to be. Verse 25, those who seek after the law of liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and are consistent with their behaviour or attitude, and are not forgetful of who they are or what their purpose is, and our doers of the word shall be blessed. So to help us maintain the correct attitude, God instructs us to visit the fatherless and widows and make known the work of God to others and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Romans 12 verse 2. So we continue by remembering Jesus and his sacrifice on our behalf, by partaking of these emblems before us, the self-sacrificial behaviour of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, shows a man whose attitude towards his fellow man and his Father in heaven have yet to be matched. It is by this ultimate example that Christ portrayed for us that we strive to achieve an attitude so we may obtain a place in God's kingdom.